The last time we got together, we finished up that section of Matthew chapter 11 where Jesus was speaking. He said, you're like the children in the marketplaces. Remember, he said, you can't be pleased. Doesn't matter what we do, we can't please you. If John comes along, very strict lifestyle, very different, you say he's demon-possessed. Son of Man comes along, he eats in people's homes, he visits with people, he hangs out around people, you say that he's a partier and a wino, and that he's a friend of tax collectors and sinners. You can't be pleased. And he says that's no good. And you'll notice his message. Remember the message, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That was the message. Now you're going to notice that the nation has rejected that message. They don't want to hear it anymore. They're wanting Messiah to come in, kick out Rome, and let's get on with this. They didn't want to hear it, so they rejected Jesus. They rejected the Messiah. Today you see the same thing taking place. The message hasn't changed. It's just that people aren't interested any longer. They don't want to hear it. Tell us something new. So then the Bible says in chapter 11, Matthew 11, verse 20, then began Jesus, or he, to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done because they didn't repent. He came crying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. They wouldn't do it. They rejected the Messiah, the message. They're cutting John the Baptist's head off, and they're going to reject the Messiah as well. They don't want to hear it. And so Jesus begins to call them on that. And he says this, woe unto thee, Chorazin. Woe unto thee, Bethsaida. Two cities there up in the Galilee area. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, or Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. You know, Messiah, there in those cities, he did many mighty works, things only God could do. And the message that went with it is repent, for the kingdom of heaven is right now. You've been waiting for Messiah, he's here. But they rejected him. So he said, woe unto you cities. Do you know the cities of Tyre and Sidon are Gentile cities, not even within the land of Israel. And he said, if this would have been done in those cities, they would have changed. They would have turned around and repented. Woe unto you. But I say to you, verse 22, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. Degrees of judgment. A heavier judgment is coming on those who had greater light. He says, you know, if the things that I did here were done over there, they would have changed their ways. But you are the chosen ones. I came to you first and you've rejected it. So on the day of judgment, it's going to be better for them. It'll go lighter for them. The sentence will be lighter for them than it will be for you. Degrees of judgment. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven. What does he mean? Capernaum was where he set up his ministry. It's his base or his headquarters. Right there in Capernaum. God lives here and works out of this city and travels all around Israel. Capernaum, he says, you've been exalted unto heaven. God lives there. That's where he chose to set up his base camp. And you have rejected him anyway. And he says, if the mighty works, or you've been exalted to heaven, but you shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have remained unto this day. Remember Sodom, it was completely wiped off the face of the earth, never to be seen ever again. God says, if I would have done there what I did right here among you, that city would still be there, meaning they would have repented. Degrees of judgment. He says, but I say this unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in that day of judgment than for you. Sodom was judged and wiped off the earth, never to be seen again. But in the day of judgment that's coming, Jesus, God the Son, says it's going to go lighter on the city of Sodom and its inhabitants on that great day, and it will go more severe and heavier judgment for you. In Luke chapter 12, Jesus says that there are degrees of punishment. And of course, the Old Testament, God draws that out. He says the punishment needs to fit the crime. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. Punishment has to fit the crime. And, you know, some people sinned with all that light available. They weren't in the dark like these cities. They saw amazing things. They heard amazing things. In Luke chapter 12, verse 48, he that did not know and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. Right before that, he says, the one that knew will be beaten with many stripes. Degrees of punishment. Levels, if you will. For unto whom soever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. To whom much is given, much is required. Capernaum, Bethsaida, Chorazin. You were given a whole lot. Now, because you were given a lot, much will be required of you. Your judgment will be heavier because of it. You had an opportunity, but you rejected it. Now, you think about those cities which were given so much light, yet they still couldn't see. And they rejected the truth. Now, you think about the United States of America. To whom much is given, much is required. Do you think there will be a heavier judgment on a nation who has so much freedom? We get Bibles, we can get them free. You've got a Bible with you, some of you. Nobody threatens you when you walk out the door. The police don't stop you and take it away from you. You're free to do whatever you want with it. Throw it in the trash, tear the pages out, color in it, read it. You're free, and you can tell people about Jesus. Sometimes they don't want to hear it, but you are free to say, I'm born again. My Savior is Jesus Christ. And no one will put you in jail for that. Do you realize what light you've been given? And to whom much is given, much is required. He expects us to do something with it. And those that reject, who live in this country and a few other countries who have it, like look at England, speaking of Germany, the men and the women, the godly men and women who came out of those nations and preached the gospel, look at the light that was given to them. Don't you understand? A heavier judgment is coming. Every time I go to church, every time I read my Bible, I see, and God gives me more. And so I always say, Lord, help us to be doers of your word and not just hearers only. Because see, he's given us a lot. We think we don't know anything, but you are Bible scholars compared to much of the world today. You can go into Africa, into South America. You can go into parts of China, into Russia. You can go into North Korea and into certain parts of South Korea. You can go around the world and you'll tell people, you know, the Bible says this, and they'll tell you, I have never seen a Bible. I've heard about it, but I've never seen. You'll say, Jesus Christ died for the sins of the world. And people will tell you, I have never heard of Jesus Christ. I don't know what you're talking about. So you are scholars. You've been given a lot. You don't feel guilty about that. That's not a bummer. That's a blessing. But Jesus says to the cities, you've rejected me. The message is, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and you won't repent. You're rejecting me. And on the day of judgment, it's really going to go hard because you had so much more light. Jesus didn't walk on down and sit and do miracles in Sodom and Gomorrah. Why? Because he promised, the Messiah was promised to the Jews first and then to the Greeks. So Jesus now is going to do something very interesting. The nation has rejected him, but he's going to call out to the individual. Look at America. The nation of America has rejected God. But God still calls out to the individual. Look what Jesus says. He says, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hid these things from the wise and the prudent and has revealed them unto babes. The Pharisees, the scribes, the doctors of the law, the elite of that day were not responding to Jesus. They were rejecting. They rejected the message and the offer of salvation. But the simple were coming to Jesus. Those that you would look and say, well, what an idiot. That lady, what is Jesus? He's talking to a lady and he says, go get your husband. She said, I don't have one. He said, you're right. You've been married five times, and the man you're living with now is not your husband. You're right. Who would spend time or waste time with her? Jesus said, if you knew who I was, if you knew who was asking you for the water, you'd ask him for that living water. You'd have life. You're welcome to it. It's for you as well. And the simple ones come to Jesus. Have you witnessed lately? Any of you? And people, the questions that they ask, oh, they're deep. Oh, are they deep? My pond is not very deep. But those questions are deep. For instance, I'm really thinking about becoming a Christian. Oh, that's neat. But you know, there's one thing I really want to know. How many angels were created? Notice it has nothing to do with their soul, with their heart, with their sin. It's got to do with some sort of mental understanding of something. And while they're trying to ponder the significance of angel behavior, others are going, I'm a loser. I need some help. I just need some help. I don't know how anybody could love me or forgive me, but I need some help. See, it hasn't changed. Jesus says, I thank you that it's the babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight. It's good to you. You know what you're doing. And then Jesus says something that is, well, people don't want to hear it. I'll show you what I mean. All things are delivered unto me of my Father. Everything comes to me of my Father. And no man knows the Son but the Father. And then he says this, neither knoweth any man the Father except the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Jesus is saying, I and the Father are one. Everything I get, everything I'll have, that comes from the Father. And the Father knows the Son. And no man knows the Father. No man knows the Son but the Father, see? And no man knows the Father except the Son. And to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Let me tell you in American what he just said. I belong to the Father. I and the Father are one. You can't separate us. And you will never know the Father unless I show him to you. Or let's put it even more basic language. I am the only way you will ever see the Father. I am the only way you'll get to him. I am the only way that you're going to ever see God or be in his presence or even deal with him. Jesus is saying, I am the absolute only way. If I don't reveal the Father to you, if you don't come through me, you will not ever be near the Father nor know the Father. Now in the Gospel of John, he said, I am the way and the truth and the life. In John 14:6, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's exactly what he's saying here. Strong language to simply say, you can't come to the Father unless I take you. You have to come through me. People don't like that. People are teaching all roads lead to God. You could find your own path. Jesus says, no, it's not true. The only ones who will ever be there at God and know God and begin to realize God are the ones I will show to him. The only way to God is through Jesus Christ the Son. That's what he's saying. So because of that, and because of his rejection now, nations as a whole have rejected him, Jesus now makes a call to the individual. That's to you and to me and to everyone. He calls to the individual. He says, now because of that, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come to me, everybody that labors. What does it mean to labor? To grow weary, to grow tired, to grow exhausted with toil or burdens or grief. So not only physical work, but growing weary emotionally, mentally, just being worn out. Some of you today feel that way. I know you do. You say, I can't go on. Now, I'm not a physical tiredness is you get over with pretty easily. You go out and shovel some snow, or you do this, or you work out, or you whatever you do. You're physically tired. You sit down, you relax a while, and you're pretty much back up to speed, or you get a good night's rest. But there's a tiredness that he's saying here. Come unto me, all ye that labor. And there's that tiredness that you're saying, I can't go anymore. I think I'm finished. I don't think I can go on. People say it in marriages. People say it in school. People say it with their jobs. I am just weary. I can't continue on. You mean your physical body's tired? No, what I'm saying is, I can't do it. I think I'm out of gas. I think I'm finished. And what do? They give up. They start talking about divorce. They start talking about suicide. They start talking about just dropping it all and disappearing from life. What are they? Come unto me, all ye that labor. Remember Israel. There were a total of 70. They went on down to Egypt because there was a famine. Joseph got sent on ahead to prepare for everybody. It looked bad, but God knew exactly what he was doing. They went on down there, and 70 of them, the whole nation, 70 strong, were living in Egypt, and it was great, wasn't it? For a while. But then as they worked and worked, soon a Pharaoh came along that didn't know them, and he put them into heavier bondage. They became slaves. And now all of a sudden, things that they were glad that they were doing, things that were going well, all of a sudden became a super burden. They were weary physically, but they were weary in their hearts and their spirits. They were just being crushed. And Moses came along and said, let my people go. About 400 years after all this of suffering, Moses comes along and says, let my people go. God said so. It's God speaking. Let my people go. And Pharaoh says, oh, if you got this kind of time to talk this way among yourselves, you got too much time on your hands. And so you're going to make more bricks, and we're not going to give you straw. You go get it yourself. But I don't want the tally of the bricks to go down any. And then the Bible goes on to say there in Exodus 5, they labored under that. Not only were they worn out, but they were laboring. We can't go on. We can't. It can't be done. My heart, my spirit is broken. I can't continue. Jesus says, all ye that labor. If you're thinking about giving up, there's something here for you. But not only ye that labor, but ye that are heavy laden. To be loaded down with burdens. What kind of burdens? Not the weight that you think. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 4. God is speaking to his children Israel. He says, ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel to anger. They are gone away backward. Why should you be stricken anymore? You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick and the whole heart is faint. From the sole of the foot to the head, even to the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. They are laden with sin. Jesus says, I know in your hearts you're weary. You that are weary, you that are worn out, you that are giving up, you that say, it can't continue, I can't go on. Jesus says, come to me, you that labor, and you that are heavy laden, sins. The sin, the weight of sin is holding many of us down. Now, Jesus forgives your sin. But the truth is, sometimes we walk on in them anyway. And the weight holds us down. We're being crushed under our own sin. We need to humble ourselves. And he'll tell that in a minute. And begin to walk with him in obedience. It's not a bad thing. It's not a legal thing. Why does everybody want it to be so ugly to really want to obey and walk with God? The world just doesn't want that of you. Other Christians don't want that of you. Because if you do, it's going to make them look worse than they already feel. And they're under that labor or that burden of their own sin. And so if you start doing right, it makes them feel bad. Don't do right. You're free. Think about it. Isn't that the truth? I get uncomfortable when everybody's doing what's right and I'm not. Oh, you bunch of holier than thous. But then you feel bad. You just feel bad. It's the weight. What do I do with that? Jesus has come to me. All you that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. It's rest unto your souls. Your physical body will get tired, but it's the peace and the rest on the inside that you can't get to it. You can't get to it. And so he says, come to me. Well, okay, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke. Doesn't he say that next? Take my yoke upon you. Take my yoke. What he's saying is, well, let me tell you, here's how it goes. Two oxen were yoked together normally. The yoke was built in the fashion, and they were good at it in these days. And Jesus, when he said this, everybody knew what he meant at that point, because it was built so well that there was a lead oxen. That was the boss. And the yoke fit that oxen just right, and you put that one in first, and then you would yoke up another oxen to him. But the lead oxen carried almost all the weight, did almost all the work, and really the other oxen was just sort of like a sidekick. And the lead oxen, if the lead oxen went to the right, the assistant, that's where he went. And so whoever the driver was would say to the lead oxen, okay, let's go this way. And the other one would follow because they were yoked together. So Jesus says, you come to me, you that are laboring and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Yoke up with me. Be yoked with me. The yoke was designed in such a way that the lead oxen would be pulling the greater weight and the other was simply following. Yoked together, following. Jesus is saying to you and to me, let me pull the weight. Let me be the lead oxen. Let me take the lead position. You yoke up with me. I'll carry the weight. Let me lead the way. Don't try to go your own way. Don't try to figure out why I'm going this way. Let me lead. Let me pull the weight. Let me do the work. Lock up with me and come on. Yoke up with me. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Jesus wants you and me to yoke up with him. Get on in that yoke. And now he's leading and I'm right there going along. I don't know where I'm going, but I don't have to know. He's the lead ox. I'm the dumb ox that's with him. I could have said that about you, but I felt that it would be nicer to say it about me. He's the lead oxen. I yoke up with him. Sometimes I don't know where he's pulling me. So wait a minute. Where are you pulling me? Some of you are working hard and you're burning out because you say I'm yoked up with him, so you're locked in and you are doing everything you can to go to the right, but he says, I'm leading and we are going to the left now. And you're burning out. Let me read you. True, this is true. Fact, this happened. Commander, an admiral on a battleship. It's dark outside. It's foggy. They're headed in a direction, whatever direction they were headed at the time. And it just, you can't see well. And so young seaman comes up to the commander and says, sir, there's a light dead ahead. Straight ahead, there's a light. I think it's an oncoming vessel. Straight, I mean, we're headed right at it. So the commander says, signal that oncoming vessel. Change your course 10 degrees west. So they signal. A light flashed back from that direction. You change your course 10 degrees east. The commander, an admiral in the Navy, knowing he's important and in charge, a little bit angry, he barks out this order. Signal them again. Change your course 10 degrees to the west. I am an admiral. The light flashed back. You change your course 10 degrees to the east. I am a seaman third class. The admiral was outraged at that. And he was yelling, you signal again, you change your course 10 degrees to the east or west. I am a battleship. The light flashed back, you change your course 10 degrees to the east. I am a lighthouse. You can fight all you want to. But God knows what's up. And if you lock in with Him, you'll want to go His way. You want to go the way of God. Now, see, we get bad raps. Churches just do. This church is really getting a bad one. Because we're being told that we force people to serve. And that you guys are burning out serving. There has never been in all of the Scripture a servant of God who burned out. Never. But there have been many servants who took on burdens that God didn't give them. They took on weights and they took on directions that God didn't give them. So what do we say? We could use your help. We could use your help. Here. Pray about it and see how the Lord leads you. Don't just dive in and do something because others think you're holy. Because you'll be taking on a weight that God didn't give for you. And you'll be trying to pull when God is saying, we're going this way. The bottom line is, God is saying, I'm directing this. I don't know where I'm going. I just say, I'm with Jesus. I'm with Him. He's the lead ox. Lead on, Lord. Sometimes it doesn't make sense. Sometimes I think, I'm tired. He says, I'm pulling the weight. He says this. He goes on to say, learn of me. Yoke up with me. Hook into my yoke and begin to learn about me. What's Jesus like? Here he gives. This is his only description of himself, really, of his character. You read through the Gospels, he doesn't describe himself a whole lot, but here's some of his description of himself. He says, learn of me, for I am meek, strength and power under control. You don't have to come with those clubs and those swords. Put them away. I'm coming with you peacefully. Let these apostles go. You're not arresting me. I'm coming along. This is my Father's will. There is no need for you to come to attack me. If I didn't want to, I have the power. 12,000 angels would be here soon, and one of them could take all of you in his street clothes. You don't need to come after me with sticks. I'm God. Power and strength under control. He says, you learn of me, for I am meek and also lowly in heart. That is a humility. The opposite of that would be pride. Jesus says, I'm lowly in heart. Learn about me. Could Jesus walk down now, slap you around and talk you into coming to heaven? Oh, I suppose he could. Easy. I mean, it wouldn't even take slapping around. All you got to do is have three things go wrong in the same day, and you're going, oh, Lord, I'm under spiritual attack. Oh, whoa. Might just be him going, yo. Strength and power under control. Somebody said it this way once, fur-lined steel. Meekness. It's not weakness. There's power there, and he says, I know what I'm doing. I want to steer. You just come on along. I love you. So he says this, come to me, you that are worn out, you that are weary. Yoke up with me, let me steer. Don't try to go your own way. Learn of me. I am meek and lowly of heart. And I will give you rest to your lives, to your souls. He says, my burden, or my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. I believe every one of us is saved to serve God. And I believe some are burning out because they're not really listening. They're just diving in thinking, well, I'll do that. Now, that's fine. But you really want to listen to God. Because I believe you should serve. That's what Jesus did. That's what we're all about. Servanthood is what we're all about. You can't burn out when He is the lead ox. Can't be done. You burn out because you take on other yokes. You take on other burdens. You take on other weights and you try to drag them. And you say, I'm getting tired. And God is saying, yoke up with me. Just yoke up with me. I'm weary. I think this is not going to ever work, Lord. You come to me. You learn. I'm meek and lowly of heart. If it's heavy, And you can just remember this or write it down. If it's heavy, it's not His burden. That's not what He's given you. If it is too heavy, it is not His burden. Because He says, my burden is light. If what I'm doing is tough and wearisome to me, it may physically wear me out, but if it's wearisome to me, if I'm getting to the point where I'm becoming despondent and going into depression, if it's tough and wearisome, then I know it's not the Lord who has placed that burden upon me. And I need to stop and say, Lord, what am I doing? Let me know, have I bitten off more than I could chew? Do I need to back off from this and seek You? Maybe I'm trying to go in a direction and I'm pulling in that direction, yet I'm yoked up with Him and He's going the other way. Maybe I'm fighting the Lord. His yoke is easy, His burden is light. Now, if I'm a lazy bum, that's different. Yeah, I'm yours, Lord, but don't ask me to stand up or do anything. Well, now He's going to take a whole different approach with that. But I know some of you want to serve. Your heart is, I want to serve. Seek the Lord. Call upon the Lord. Say, Lord, show me what You want me to do. And He'll say, yoke up with me. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Learn about me. I am meek. You could be doing a lot more, God. You could really straighten this place out. Just go beat them guys up in Sudan. No. I've got power and the strength, and it's under control. I know what I'm doing. You just trust me and walk with me. Now, this is key before we close. This is key. Jesus didn't say, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, go get counseling. Did He? I think some of you are barking up the wrong tree, metaphorically speaking, of course. I don't really think you are. Jesus didn't say, all you that labor and are heavy laden, go learn meditation techniques. He did not say, go back and work through your past hurts, no matter how far, even if you got to go to the womb. He didn't say, go and just recreate your own reality, change the way it is. He didn't say, go and find that perfect husband, that perfect wife, those perfect parents, those perfect kids. What did He say? You that are weary, that are being crushed under the load, you that are burdened by the sin, come to Me. Where should you go when you recognize you're hurting, or you're about at the end, or it seems like there's no hope, and you're just weary from life and from the things that are going on? You go to Jesus. I think it's a mistake we make. We go everywhere else first. Come to Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon you. Yoke up with Me and learn of Me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For My yoke is easy, My burden is light. Whatever God takes you through, you are yoked with Him and He is taking you through it. You need to let Him carry the weight. He is the lead ox. I'm the ox that comes along. He's got all the pressure. He's got all the decisions to make. He's doing the work. I'm along with Him to serve and to say, that's my lead ox. That's my master. Some of you who are talking about suicide, some of you who are talking about just plain giving up, some of you who think your life is over, you've hit 17 and it's just over. Some of you who think, my health is not too good, and I'm weary from just crying out, and I'm weary from going through it. Some of you that are thinking, I don't know what to do in my business. I don't know how to handle these things. Some of you that are in school, you're saying, I really thought God wanted me in this profession, but these classes are overwhelming me. I'm not sure I can get through them. Then Jesus says, you that labor and are heavy laden, come to Me. Come to Jesus first. And listen to Him. And yoke up with Him so that He is the lead ox and He is pulling the weight. He loves you. Let's bow our heads together. We pray, Lord, that we would remember, because we do forget that You do love us. We forget it sometimes. We sure get overwhelmed. We get ourselves into some real crushing situations. You said Your yoke is easy, Your burden is light, and sometimes we're thinking, oh, I can't even move. Lord, sometimes we're taking on us what we shouldn't. Sometimes we're walking in sin, and it is burdening us. It is weighing us down. Lord, we come to You this morning for wisdom, for help, for strength, just to yoke up with You, to let You call the shots, to let You be King of Kings, to be our Master as you are and as You should be. Speak to our hearts, Lord. Hear the cries of the hearts who cry out to You this morning, who are weary. They're burdened. They're heavy laden. Lord, hear as we worship in Jesus' name.